Imagine you nudge one domino and watch the whole line tumble, one after another. Then picture that domino as a single smile or kind word. Could one small action really set off a chain reaction of goodness? Let's tip that first domino and find out. Hello, Faithful Explorers. I'm Laura, and you're listening to Faithfully Explore. Today, we're diving into karma. We'll discover why a helpful deed can circle right back to you and how a grumpy frown can cloud someone else's day.
Faithfully explores the name. Learning together is our aim. Beliefs around the globe will track. Filling up our belief backpack.
Karma. Have you heard that word before? Try saying it with me. Karma. Karma is a word that comes from the Sanskrit language, an ancient language from India, and it literally means action. But when people talk about karma, they usually mean the idea that every action has a consequence. It's kind of like a fancy way of saying, if you do something good will eventually come back to you. If you do something bad might come back too. Or another way to say it is, what goes around comes around. Now, karma isn't just one idea from one place. Many different religions and cultures talk about it. They each have their own spin on it, but all believe in this cause and effect law of our actions. Let's take a quick tour and see what karma means in a few religions. First up, Hinduism. One of the world's oldest religions, which began in India. Hindus believe that everything a person does, good or bad, adds up to shape their future. Think of it like a big cosmic scoreboard. Good actions deposit good points, and bad actions take away points. The balance of those points can influence not only what happens tomorrow or next year, but even what happens in your next life. That's because Hindus believe in reincarnation, which means being born again after you die, possibly as a different person or even an animal. According to Hindu beliefs, if you've been a very good person, you might be reborn into a happy, comfortable life. If you've made lots of bad choices, your next life might be more difficult. The ultimate goal in Hinduism is to do such good and wise deeds and follow your dharma, which means duty of living rightly, that eventually you can escape this cycle of rebirth and reach what they call moksha, which is spiritual freedom, meaning you won't be reincarnated anymore. Many Hindu parents use the saying,
when you do good, good comes back to you.
So if you share your toys or help a friend, your parents might explain that you're earning good karma, like putting kindness in your pocket to be spent later. It's time to move our bodies and feel the energy of karma. Let's imagine each movement we make is like a ripple in a giant pond of life. Stretch both arms in front of you. Now gently push forward like you're sending out a big wave of kindness. Maybe it's a smile or sharing your snack. Push forward again. Now imagine you forgot to clean up or that you were unkind. Oh no. That kind of action might pull back on the good energy. Pull your arms towards your chest like you're pulling in that yucky energy. Eek. Let's send some good energy back out. Maybe you pick up litter or help a neighbor. Push your arms back out in waves in front of you again. Remember, the goal is to push more positive energy forward than draw negative energy back towards you. All right, our next visit is Buddhism. We talked about Buddhism in our Vesak Day episode. Buddhism also began in India, and it shares the idea of karma and reincarnation with Hinduism. But Buddhists believe that our actions and even our intentions, which are the reason why we do something, have consequences. In fact, one of the Buddha's teachings is that intention matters. This means doing a good deed is even better when your heart is in the right place. For example, if you help someone purely to get a reward, that's nice. But if you help someone because you truly care, Buddhists believe that brings even better karma. A Buddhist parent might say,
"Karma is like planting seeds. With everything you do, kind actions grow into happiness for you now and in your next life, and unkind actions grow into troubles."
Just like Hindus, many Buddhists believe these balances carry over when you're born again. But even if someone listening doesn't believe in being reborn or in reincarnation, we can notice how doing good made us feel good right now, right? For instance, have you ever noticed that when you do something nice for someone, it often makes you feel happy too? That's karma at work. Now squat down low and pretend like you're digging a hole in the earth. Pretend to plant a tiny seed which represents your kind action. Maybe that seed is sharing or telling the truth. Now pat the ground gently with both hands. Stand up slowly, cupping your hands, pretending you're holding water. Now tip your hands like you're watering your seed with love and good thoughts. Raise your hands slowly over your head like a plant reaching toward the sun. Sway gently side to side like tall green stalks in the wind. When you do kind things again and again, your tree of karma grows strong and happy. Uh-oh, did you speak unkindly or forget to share? Now there's a weed by your tree. Bend over and pretend to tug a weed out of the ground. Pull with effort. Even if you planted something unkind, you can always notice it and start over. That's the beauty of learning and growing. So remember, each choice you make plants a seed. What will your garden grow? Now onto our religion you may not know as well, Jainism. Jains followed Jainism, which also started in India around the same time as Buddhism. Jains believe that karma isn't just an invisible point system, but almost like a sticky dust or a mud that gloms onto your soul. Good action leads to good kinds of particles sticking, which can later bring good results. And bad actions lead to icky bad stuff sticking to you. Imagine doing something mean and then having sticky black mud clinging to you. Yuck. The stickier your soul with bad karma, the more unhappy and heavy it feels. Jains are super careful to avoid bad karma. In fact, Jains believe in ahimsa, which means nonviolence, so strongly that some devout Jains will gently sweep the path in front of them when they walk, just so they don't accidentally step on a tiny bug. They really don't want to even harm an ant because that would bring harm or bad karma back to their soul. Instead, Jains try to be extra kind, honest, and self-controlled to keep their souls shiny and clean. For a Jain child, karma might be explained like this.
Imagine your soul is a bright, beautiful white shirt. Every time you do something bad, you spill a stain on it. Every time you do something good, you wash a stain out.
They want to wash away all the stains so their soul is completely pure and free. Eventually, if soul free of karma, in Jain belief, becomes light as a feather and rises to the top of the universe in a state of bliss. So the lesson from Jainism is, each little action counts in keeping your heart and soul clean and light. Even small kindnesses or small hurts add up. Now stand tall and imagine you're wearing your favorite white shirt. Stretch your arms out wide to admire it. Oh no, you just shouted at your brother or told a lie. Pretend you're holding a cup of grape juice, tilt your cup, and act out it splashing all over your shirt. Look down. Ugh, what a mess. Rub at the stain with both hands. You try your sleeve, your elbow. Nothing works. This stain just won't go away by itself. But wait, you say sorry? you do something kind, you help someone in need. Now reach down and scoop up some soapy water. Splash it on your shirt, rub gently. Look down, the stain is fading. Kindness is like soap. Every good action helps wash your soul clean. Our last stop in the Karma Tour is Sikhism. As we talked about in our Fauja Singh episode, Sikhism began in the Punjab region of India a few hundred years ago. Sikhs also believe in karma and reincarnation. Sikhs try to avoid the five vices, which are things like anger, greed, ego, attachment, and lust, because those lead to bad karma and pull you away from God. Instead, they focus on good deeds, service to others, remembering God, and being truthful, all of which bring good karma and bring them closer to God. Sikhs say that the body is born because of karma, but salvation is attained through God's grace. What does that mean? It means Sikhs think that your actions matter and you will be born again based on what you do, good or bad. However, they also believe that being ultimately saved from the cycle of rebirth and suffering isn't just about piling up good deeds. It's also about the grace of Waheguru, remember that's their name for God, helping you out. In other words, you do your best to do good, and God's love bridges the gap. A simple way a Sikh parent might tell their child about karma is,
always do what's right, because you create your own future by how you act. But remember to stay humble and thankful to God.
In Sikhism, karma is important, but it's not the only thing. Doing good is also part of showing your love for God. And ultimately, God's grace can wipe away even bad karma. Think of it like this. If life is a big test, you try your best, that's your karma. The teacher, who's God, might give you extra help or a bonus if you're truly trying and learning. All right, let's pretend you're writing with a giant invisible pencil. Now pause. Uh-oh, you're stuck on a really tricky part of life. Maybe you're feeling mad or confused. What do you do? Freeze. Take a deep breath in and out. Now write again slowly and carefully. You're doing your best. Raise your hand up high like you're asking the teacher a question. That's like asking God or the universe or your inner wisdom for help when life feels tricky. Now bring your hands in front of you like you're catching something. Imagine the teacher sees you're really trying and gives you an extra smile or boost. Not because you earned it, but because they care. That's grace. Do a happy hop and wiggle like you just got a gold star. Wow, we just zoomed through four religions' ideas of karma. Great job sticking with me on that journey, explorers. To recap, karma means our actions have consequences. All four traditions agree on that. They might explain it a bit differently, but they all teach people to behave kindly and justly because it will eventually bring good back to them and even to their future lives. And guess what? Karma isn't only an idea in the religions I mentioned. Other faiths, and even people with no specific faith, have similar ideas about doing good and getting good. Let's cross our bridge and see how different beliefs connect with the idea of karma. Even if someone doesn't use the word karma, many cultures agree it's important to teach others well and that our actions have a way of coming back to us. In Christianity, there's no teaching of reincarnation or the exact word karma, but Christians definitely believe that actions have consequences. The Bible even says a man reaps what he sows. That's a fancy way of saying if you plant a seed, you'll harvest what you planted. If you plant corn, you get corn. If you plant kindness, you get kindness. And if you plant mischief, you might just get trouble. Christians might say when someone is kind and loving, God's love will bless them, either in this life or in heaven later. So even without using the word karma, Christians agree it's wise to be good because goodness often returns to you. Next, let's look at Islam. Muslims, people who follow Islam and the Quran, also don't use the word karma. They do have a strong belief that every good deed will be rewarded by God or who they call Allah, and every bad deed has a consequence. A teaching from the Quran says, whoever does good, it is to their own benefit, and whoever does evil, it is to their own loss. In other words, when you do something kind or right, you're really doing yourself a favor. And if you do something cruel or wrong, you're only hurting yourself. Muslims believe in a day of judgment, kind of like a big exam at the end of time where everyone's deeds will be weighed. There are hadith, which are sayings of the Prophet Muhammad, that suggest doing one deed can earn you 10 times the reward, while a bad deed counts only as itself. The emphasis in Islam is that kindness, charity, honesty, and justice are all noticed by Allah. Do good, and good will come from God. Do harm, and you face consequences. Now, what about people who maybe aren't part of a specific religion, like our episode on humanists? They observe that when we are kind, compassionate, and fair, society works better, and we ourselves feel happier. There is actually science that shows kindness is contagious and boosts our happiness and health. If you smile at someone, they're very likely to smile at someone else, causing a chain reaction of smiles. If you do something mean, it can also spread negativity around. People often talk about the ripple effect of our actions. Have you ever heard of that? The ripple effect means like dropping a pebble in water, one splash creates ripples. One small good deed can spread from person to person, growing wider and wider. One child in a school might start a campaign to pick up litter. Soon their friends join. Then the whole school is cleaner and everyone feels happier. So whether you call it karma, the golden rule, reaping what you sow, or maybe just being an awesome person, it's a universal truth. Our actions matter. They matter to others, and they end up mattering to ourselves too. Before we move on, how about a tiny movement moment to celebrate that togetherness? Let's try a pose called Lotus Pose. It's peaceful and powerful, and people all over the world use it to sit, breathe, and feel connected. Find a comfy place to sit. You can sit with your legs crossed crisscross applesauce, or if it feels good, try gently resting each foot on top of the opposite thigh, like a flower blooming open. Now sit tall. Imagine your spine growing like a strong tree trunk, reaching all the way from your seat to the sky. Bring your hands together in front of your heart like you're holding a warm, glowing light. That's called Anjali Mudra, and it's a way to show love, kindness, and connection. Close your eyes for a moment if you'd like. Take a deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. Again, in and out. Let's say these words quietly in our hearts. I am kind.
I am kind.
I am connected.
I am connected.
I send love to others.
I send love to others.
Open your eyes when you're ready. You did it. A tiny moment of stillness. And a big reminder that we're all connected, even when we're sitting quietly all on our own. Remember that warm light we were picturing in our chest when we were doing the Anjali Mudra? I want you to picture that light again. It's like a cozy little lantern in your heart. This light is your kindness. And feel it glowing gently. Now picture yourself waking up in the morning, sensing that warm light inside. You decide, today I'm going to do something kind. At school, you notice a classmate who looks sad. They've just dropped their books in the hallway and papers are scattered everywhere. You kneel down to help gather the papers. They look up at you and say, thank you, with a smile. Your heart lantern flickers warmly. You can almost hear it. That friend who was feeling low is a little lighter now. You wave goodbye and head to class. Later that day, the friend you helped is still carrying the glow from your kindness. They notice someone sitting alone at lunch and remember how good it felt to be helped. So they take a brave step, sit beside the lonely classmate, and share their cookies. The lonely person's eyes brighten. They feel warm and happy. After school, the once lonely student goes home smiling. They feel so good about their new friend that when they get home and see their neighbor struggling to carry groceries, they rush over to help. The neighbor, an elderly woman, is grateful. She feels that spark of happiness because someone cared about her today. Maybe that night, the neighbor is talking to her granddaughter on the phone, and she's in such a good mood that she says encouraging, loving words to her granddaughter, who is nervous about a test. Those kind words give the granddaughter confidence and comfort. Do you see what's happening? Your one small action, helping picked up dropped papers, started a chain of kindness. Your kindness was like the first domino in a line, or the first ripple in water, setting off more and more good actions. One helpful act in the morning led to a friend helping another friend at lunch, which led to another person helping a neighbor, which led to someone else being encouraged, and it keeps going and going. Imagine now that this chain of kindness keeps spreading through your town, now through the whole city, now further across the country, even across the world. One good deed inspires another and another. In your imagination, zoom out and see the earth glowing with millions of little heart lantern lights. Remember this little calm time we did? You can revisit it anytime. Just close your eyes and imagine a kind act and how it might ripple out. It's a good way to remind yourself that you matter and what you do matters. Alrighty, now that we're feeling peaceful and full of good vibes, who's up for a game? This game is called Karma Chain, and it's all about guessing the ripple effects of actions. Here's how it works. I'll describe an action, and I want you to call out or think of what you think might happen next. I will give one example of a fun chain of events that could happen. Ready? Let's play Karma Chain. Scenario 1. You notice your younger sibling struggling with homework, and you decide to help them. What could be a ripple effect of that? Maybe your sibling learns the material and does well in class the next day. Yay! Because they feel confident, they're nicer to their friend at school instead of being grumpy. And that friend goes home in a great mood and gives their family a big hug at night. Did you guess anything like that? It's okay if you didn't. Even if you thought of a different chain, there really isn't a right answer. Karma chains can have all kinds of creative outcomes. Give yourself a thumbs up if you tried. Here comes scenario 2. Uh-oh. Let's say I cut in front of someone in line at the playground slide. Not cool, right? What might happen next because I cut in front of that person? Perhaps the person I cut in front of feels upset. They might yell at me or even push back. Then I might feel upset and maybe I go home grumpy. Because I'm grumpy, I snap at my mom when she asks me how my day was. Then my mom feels frustrated because I yelled, "Oh no." Do you see how a small, unkind act can set off a chain of more upset feelings? I really wish I could hear your ideas of chains as well. The good news is, when we have a negative chain, we can always stop it by apologizing or doing something kind to turn it around. In this scenario, what could we do to fix our karma chain? Maybe I realize I was wrong and say sorry to the kid at the slide and let them go first. That could stop the bad feelings. And you never know, maybe even start a good chain. Maybe that kid later lets someone else go first in a game, remembering the apology I made to them. Karma chain reversed. Scenario number three, here we come. Imagine you secretly put a funny drawing in your mom's work bag so she'll find it later and laugh. What happens next? Maybe mom finds the drawing at lunchtime and laughs out loud in her office. Her coworkers ask why she's smiling and she shows them the drawing. And then they all smile. One of the coworkers is inspired and later when he goes home, he plays a goofy game with his kids because he remembered it's okay to be silly. Those kids go to bed happy. All thanks to your sneaky little joke drawing. Who knew your doodle could brighten so many people's day? This is a fun game, right? We can imagine all sorts of domino effects. The point is, every action can be like the start of a story, and you can be the author of that story by choosing what you do. Thanks for playing Karma Chain, and give yourself a round of applause for those awesome ideas. Now, dear listeners, it is time for our weekly challenge. This week, I have a super special activity for you, a karma chain tracker. Here's how it works. The tracker has blank chains printed on it, so you can make a chain of paper links. You could also do this using any scratch paper from your house. Each day, you try to do at least one kind, fair, or brave thing. When you do something you think would improve your karma, you get to write or draw what you did on one of the chain links and add it to your karma chain. Maybe you first help clean up a room without being asked and get your chain started. After that, you included a new friend in a game at the park and added another link. The next day, you stood up for somebody being picked on. That brave act earned you your next link. Following that, you might share a toy with your sibling, tell the truth about something that was hard, or even just recycle. Keep track of all of these things by adding new links to your karma chain tracker. By the end of the week, look at the chain of actions you created. Discuss with your family. Did you feel like any of those actions led to something else good happening? How did you feel after doing those good things? You can even continue this challenge beyond a week. See how long of a chain of kindness you can make. I would love to see your karma chains. If you want, you can have a parent share a photo with us. But even if you keep it just to yourself, be proud of the good ripples you're making. This chain is just a fun way to remind ourselves that every little action counts. So if you're up for the challenge, and I bet you are, this week, let's all try to build a chain of kindness, fairness, and bravery in our good luck, explorers. I know you can do it. Just one silly moment before we pack up. Why is there no menu at the Karma restaurant?
I don't know why.
Because you always get what you deserve. As we near the end of our journey today, let's pack the most important ideas into our belief backpack. These are the takeaways that I'd like you to carry with you beyond your journey with me today. The first thing we'll add is that our actions have power. Everything you do, big or small, can lead to something else happening. Just like a row of dominoes or ripples in a pond, you can start a wave of change. So make sure it's a good one. The second thing we want to remember is that we're all connected. Your good deed can become someone else's good day. Knowing that makes you a part of something huge, kind of like you're on a team with all the kind people in the world. Let's call it team kindness. Every culture and religion we talked about today is cheering for you to make positive choices. How cool is it that by doing what's right, you're joining in a global or maybe even cosmic effort? The third thing to remember is that you have the choice. Karma isn't meant to scare us like, oh no, if I'm bad, something bad will happen. It's meant to empower us. It tells us you have a say in what happens. You can't control everything in life, but you can control how you act. And those actions can shape your future and maybe even others' futures. All right, zip up that backpack now. These lessons are safe inside. Carry them with you and remember them the next time you're deciding what to do in a tricky situation, or maybe when you wonder if being kind is worth it. Hint, it always is. Now, who's ready for a story? For today's story time, I have chosen a special tale called The Golden Goose. This tale is a folk parable. What that means is that it's been told over time and passed down through the generations, and that it's a story that should teach us a lesson. So this story is found in many cultures and is often told in Buddhist homes. Once upon a time, in a little village by a lake, there lived a goose with beautiful golden feathers. This goose wasn't just beautiful, he was also very kind and wise. In a small, shabby cottage not far from the lake lived a poor woman and her two young daughters. They had very little to eat and even wore patched clothes. The kind golden goose often watched the family from afar and felt sorry that they struggled so much.
They seem like a nice family. I wish I could help them.
The goose had an idea. Because he had golden feathers, he could give one feather at a time to the family. They could then sell the feather for money to buy food and clothes. Since the goose's feathers would grow back, it wouldn't really hurt him to share a few over time. One day, the goose flew down to the poor woman's yard. The woman was startled to see this large, shining goose at her doorstep.
Oh my, what a lovely goose. Hello there, we don't have any food to give you, Mr. Goose.
Honk! Don't worry, I'm not here to take anything. I'm here to give. I want to help you and your daughters. See my feathers? They are gold. I will leave you one of my golden feathers. You can sell it for money to buy what you need.
The woman was astonished. A goose that gives golden feathers? She carefully took the feather the goose offered, and the goose flew away with a friendly wave of his wing. Sure enough, the feather was pure gold. The woman sold it in the market and had enough money to buy plenty of food, firewood, and clothes for her little girls. They were so happy that night with full tummies for the first time in a long while. A couple weeks later, the kind golden goose swooped down again and left another feather. The family used the money from that to fix their leaky roof. Each time the goose visited, he left a single shining feather. And each time the family's life got just a little better. The two daughters were grateful and always greeted the goose with a smile and a thank you. They even tried to feed him breadcrumbs in return when they had some time to spare.
Mother, we should never hurt this goose. He's our friend.
Yes, dears, he has helped us so much. We must treat him kindly.
And they did for a while. But as their life became comfortable, the mother started to feel something else creeping into her heart. Greed.
This one feather at a time business is too slow. What if that goose flies away and never comes back? Then we'd be poor again.
Her fear of being poor again made her greedier. She plotted to grab all the goose's golden feathers at once. The next time he visited, so she would have a big pile of gold and wouldn't have to rely on the goose returning. The daughters gasped when their mother shared this idea.
Mother? No. That will hurt the goose. It's not right to take all his feathers. They grow back slowly. We should be grateful, not greedy.
But the mother's ears were clouded by the ka-ching sound of Imagine Gold. Sure enough, the next time the glittering goose came, the mother sprang her trap. As the goose was chatting kindly with them, the mother lunged forward and grabbed the goose with both hands.
What are you doing?
The daughters cried out and tried to stop their mother, but she was determined. She hastily plucked out every one of the golden goose's feathers as the poor goose struggled.
I need them all. I can't risk you flying away and leaving us with nothing.
The mother yanked out the last golden feather. The goose wrenched free and flapped back, naked and shivering. A strange thing had then happened. The golden feathers in the woman's hands suddenly lost their shine and turned dull white, like ordinary goose feathers.
What, my gold, it's gone?
The goose shook his now featherless wings and said with a sad voice,
when someone takes my feathers without permission, they lose their magic. Now they are worth nothing. You have taken my kindness and tried to hoard it greedily, and now you have nothing. I would have helped you for a long time, but now I must leave.
The mother dropped to her knees in despair, surrounded by useless white feathers drifting in the breeze. The daughters wept, not for the loss of the gold, but for how they'd treated their generous friend. The family returned to being poor as before. The daughters vowed to never be greedy again, and the mother learned a hard lesson. When someone is kind to you, don't grab for more than what's given. Appreciate what you have, and the kindness will continue. Think about it. If the mother had continued to be grateful and kind, the goose would have kept helping. Good would have kept coming. But her change of heart towards greed brought a bad result. It's a memorable way to learn. Choose kindness and fairness over greed or selfishness. Before we say goodbye, want a little sneak peek at our next Faithfully Explore adventure? Imagine walking through snowy forests, crossing wide rivers in wooden wagons, and building a whole new town in the middle of the desert, all because of something you believe in. In our next episode, we're setting off on the Trail of Belief, the journey of the Latter-day Saints. We'll travel back in time to follow a group of families who faced enormous challenges as they followed their faith across the American frontier. You'll hear real stories, brave decisions, and a few surprises. Plus, we'll explore what it means to belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints today, through the eyes of kids just like you. So grab your hiking boots, or maybe just your headphones, and join me next time for an unforgettable journey. We've had such a wonderful time today, haven't we? From dominoes to golden geese, we've learned that what we do matters. What goes around comes around. So let's choose to send good around. As we end today's episode, I want to say thank you. Yes, you, listening right now, for being here, for caring, and for wanting to learn and grow. By listening and thinking about these ideas, you're already taking a step toward being an even more awesome person than you already are. Give yourself a hug or a pat on the back, because you deserve it. Remember our weekly challenge to try out the Karma Chain Tracker and see how many links of kindness you can make this week. I believe in you, and I bet you'll amaze yourself with all the good you can do. I'm Laura. Thank you for exploring with me on Faithfully Explore. Until next time, keep that heart light shining and those good deeds going around.